Dave Ross still off on jury duty today. Hopefully back behind this microphone tomorrow. Unless he gets called and serves on a jury duty. Highly unlikely for a broadcaster to be chosen. The lawyers usually will excuse you and let you go your own way and get back to work. That's what's happened to me every time I've been called for jury duty. As much as I'd actually like to serve on a jury, they just won't let me. I don't know why. Opinionated people not wanted. That's what the sign should say outside, and you should just be able to check a box and go home. But no, they make you stay there all day long in the jury assembly room. And I'm sure if Dave does return to the microphone tomorrow, which I expect he will, he'll have stories about trying not to fall asleep in that room while waiting all day long to eventually not serve on a jury duty. Yes, it's the broadcasters inside the world of justice. So I'm happy to be behind the microphone taking his place once again today, and happy to have you along here on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. Yesterday I talked at length about how happy I was to see President Obama sign an executive order reversing President Bush's order banning federal funding for embryonic stem cell research in this country. I said that this is the sort of thing that tells us that we have a government that is now pro-science, and that science was trumping ideology. I hope that is the case, and I hope that we have a Congress that will go that same way, although I read this morning that there are members of the Senate committee that okays presidential nominees. Some of them have put, quote, anonymous holds on some of the people that President Obama has been trying to name to top science positions. For instance, one guy named John Holdren, who's nominated to become chief White House science advisor, and another one named Jane Lubchenco, who's nominated to head NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association. They are under the thumb of some right-wing Republicans who will not have the guts to come forward and say who they are and what their objections are. And this is a revolting thing to me in Congress, that senators can do this anonymously, put a hold on a presidential nominee without having to explain it or stand up and take responsibility for that hold. I would hope that there would be pressure put on all the members of this committee to release the information on who's doing it and who is not doing it, and let these people through. This is the Commerce Committee of the United States Senate, after all. And we elected you as public officials to represent us in the 50 states, not in secret. Now, to talk a little bit about President Obama's ruling yesterday, I've invited Art Kaplan on the show. Art is head of the Department of Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. Pardon me, director of the Center for Bioethics. Art, nice to talk to you again.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. Your reaction to what the president did yesterday?
Well, I applaud it. I think, as you say, it does represent a movement back toward science, away from letting, if you will, religious values determine science policy. The fight over stem cell research is basically a stalking horse or a surrogate for the fight over abortion. Those who oppose embryonic stem cell research basically oppose the use of embryos to derive stem cells. And, you know, I think the science is clear. This is worth doing. It's basically deciding whether the sacrifice of embryos is something you're going to let hold up the science. And I don't think it should.
Is the science clear on this, Art? We've been doing embryonic stem cell research on a limited basis for almost a decade now. And so far, we haven't seen any of those miracle cures. How do we know it's valuable and will lead to those miracle cures?
Well, in honesty, we don't. It's research. It may not pan out. It may not work. But it's very tempting because the ability to make cells and make all kinds of cells, particularly those that are in the body that don't regenerate, what are sometimes called adult stem cells, if you cut your tongue, it grows back. There's a cell there that makes more tongue cells. But if your part of your brain wears out that makes dopamine, you get Parkinsonism, doesn't grow back. Sever your spinal cord, no cells there to grow back. Have a heart attack, damage your heart, no cells there to grow back. So the temptation is to move it forward. And I have to say, Paul, too, you know, I've been listening to people say the past 24 hours, well, embryonic stem cell research hasn't delivered. Look, we've starved embryonic stem cell research in this country. The biggest source of science and money is the NIH. It hasn't spent a nickel. There's been a little bit of work going on in private companies, some tiny ones, but I don't think it's fair to say it hasn't delivered. I think it would be fair to say we haven't given it a shot for the past 8 years.
You know, the odd thing about the rules under the Bush administration were that we couldn't have federal funding of embryonic stem cell research, but they permitted it to go on, as you say, in the private sector. But if embryonic destruction is so wrong, why didn't he make the whole concept illegal?
Well, Bush policy never made any sense ethically at all. He said he couldn't accept embryo destruction, but he allowed it in the private sector. He said he couldn't accept embryo destruction, but he allowed it to go on at infertility clinics where some embryos that are unwanted are thrown out every day. He never moved to close down in vitro fertilization programs or fertility treatments for people. So it didn't make sense. I think that part of it was politics. Part of it was to throw a bone toward his more conservative supporters. But at the end of the day, George W. Bush wanted to have it both ways, have a ban, and yet say he was allowing embryonic stem cell research. And I think all he did was set us back a good 8 years.
You mentioned infertility clinics, Art. It's my understanding that there are tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, of these frozen embryos that have either been created in laboratories or have been donated by couples, and they're kind of sitting in freezers now for many times when a woman wanted to be impregnated and they had more embryos in storage than they actually used in the IVF process, and then she did become pregnant, and so there was no need for those other embryos. What has been happening with those frozen embryos? Have they been thrown away, or are they just on hold somewhere?
The practice is all over the place. So what happens is a couple goes in, they make a lot of embryos, and unlike the doctor who treated the octuplets mom, a reasonable doctor doesn't put them all back in the mother. So you
right.
don't want to get 8 or 9 births. So you put in 2 or 3, and if the couple's lucky, they get a baby, and they don't need the rest of the embryos that were made. Now, some couples say freeze them, and we may use them later. Some say one child is enough, and we don't want the other embryos. Also, people give up because it's expensive to do this, so some people run out of money, and the embryos just sit there. Some people divorce, some people die, and so on. We did the, I think, key study on this. There are at least, as of 2004, 400,000 frozen embryos around. Clinics sometimes throw them away. Other clinics freeze them because they're not sure what to do. Practices all over the place. So there are at least a couple 100,000 embryos. You can go and use them for research whose fate is certain. They're just going to be destroyed. No one will be using them.
And do the couples then have to acquiesce in the donation of those embryos?
If you can find the couples, it's absolutely ethically important to get their permission to use them in research. But most of these embryos literally are abandoned. The couples walked, didn't want to pay the fees to store them, and there they are. You know, we jokingly say here, their fate is in the hands of PECO, the Philadelphia Electric Company. I mean, if the power goes off, the tank defrosts, that's it.
What does this say for other scientific rulings that were done during the Bush administration and the hope that President Obama will reverse them? I'm thinking about some of the decisions that were made on climate change and other important science that we need to move forward on that kind of had the pause button pressed during the Bush administration.
Yeah, and I think you were talking earlier about some of these people being put on hold by some people in that Commerce Committee, conservatives there. That's a fight about climate science. The Bush administration did not want to hear about scientific evidence about global warming. They did not want to hear about pollution studies, so they tended to simply ignore them and or dispute the science, but without much in the way of evidence. So I'm assuming we'll get in the Obama administration a little bit more emphasis on the science, which isn't to say, you know, that's the last word on policy, but at least we won't pretend as if the science isn't there. One of my favorite areas has been abstinence-only education. You know, the science and the studies show absolutely no impact of abstinence-only sex ed on pregnancy rates and on sexually transmitted disease rates. But Bush and his allies poured money into these programs, defying, if you will, the science to show they didn't work.
Yep. Doesn't matter what the science says. This was the Bush policy. Doesn't matter what the science says. Here's what our ideology is. And that's all that matters. And that's why I was happy to hear President Obama say that he is going to restore scientific integrity to White House decision-making and that his advisors will be hired based on their credentials, not on their politics.
Well, you know, it's I understand that Americans, people in Congress, may decide to pursue a policy where there's uncertainty, where there's dispute. But if you have absolute evidence that a certain policy doesn't work, that it's not producing what you want, there it seems to be, you know, some definition of insanity to keep doing it or some definition of ideology. So I'm not saying we all have to run around doing what scientists say, but you can't ignore the data. You can't pretend as if nothing is known about global warming or abstinence-only education or what stem cells might do. That you at least have to take it seriously, and I think that's what Obama's willing to do.
Art Kaplan, director of the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. Always a pleasure.
Hey, my pleasure.
Thank you very much. I'm Paul Harris, filling in for Dave Ross. When we come back, we'll talk to somebody who's actually on the front lines of stem cell research right here in Washington on News Talk 97.3, Cairo FM.